Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you're hearing the live broadcast at 3 o'clock p.m., well, Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. If you have questions or a particular Bible question, Bible passage you would like to have addressed, well, this is your opportunity right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God this month, and boy, what a subject that is. It is just the deepest subject we will ever encounter as human beings. There's no subject deeper than the grace of God.
Yeah.
And it's something that all of us need. And not just as a Band-Aid, not because we're just a little bit broken and we just need to be fixed just a little bit. No, we were dead spiritually.
Indeed.
Dead in trespasses and sins. And so we need to be made alive, and there's no way that we can do that. There's no way that we can make that happen in and of ourselves. So we need someone outside of us to infuse life into us. And that's what the grace of God does. The grace of God makes us alive together with Jesus Christ. And then there are benefits of that grace. We get a brand new identity. We get the righteousness of God. We're made holy. We're made perfect. All of these things are a part of this grace that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. And boy, Bob, this pandemic is surfacing a lot of the error that's out there in the Christian community as it relates to their understanding of the grace of God. For example, on Yahoo today, they had an article, and here is the title for that article: Some Evangelicals Fear the Mark of the Beast from a Coronavirus Vaccine. So there's a lot of people out there thinking that this vaccine is going to have a marker in it, and that's going to be the mark of the beast, and they're fearful that they're going to take that they're going to be deceived, and they're going to take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be lost forever. Well, folks, that is just an outright lie. That is an error.
Yeah.
That is from the pit of Satan. There is no truth to that at all. If you are a believer, you have already been marked by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've received the mark of God, and it's the Holy Spirit that has been deposited into your spirit, and as that deposit, he guarantees your eternal inheritance. So there is no mark of the beast that for a Christian.
No.
Those are going to be lost people, and they've already expressed, manifested what that is, the fact that they, in belief, they are opposed to the gospel. They're opposed to Jesus Christ. So that's the mark on the forehead. That's what that means, the belief system. And in action, they are anti-Christ. And that's the mark on the hand. That's what it represents. And we keep looking for some technology that's going to happen that we're all going to have to take. And God is talking about attitudes of the heart. You're either for Christ or you're not. You either receive life or you remain dead spiritually. And if you receive life, then you receive the mark of life, eternal life. And that life is expressed to us through the Holy Spirit. So let me just read this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. And it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. That's the Jew. And then he goes on and he says, in him you also, that's the Gentile, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So when we respond to the grace of God, when we respond through faith, so it's by grace through faith. What is grace? It is God's unmerited favor toward us, expressed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's that work that he does through Christ to make us alive together with Jesus Christ. When we respond to that through faith, we are made alive, and the Holy Spirit is deposited into our hearts. So we are one with the Spirit. So we, in belief, we trust the Lord.
Yeah.
That's our mark, faith, hope, and love. And in this life that we live out, we express this faith and love one toward another. That's what this grace of God is all about. And boy, when you read an article that has the title, "Some Evangelicals Fear the Mark of the Beast," you realize there's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. Let me read one other passage, and I want us to nail this down. I want us to have the confidence that we belong to Jesus Christ, just as the New Covenant says we do. If you're in Christ, you're a part of this New Covenant. You're a part of the people of God. The Spirit of God is the mark that guarantees that. Now, the book of Romans, chapter 5, we talk about the wrath of God. So somebody is fearful that if they take the mark of the beast, they're going to experience the wrath of God. Well, here's the great news, Romans 5, 9. "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." So because we've been marked out by the Holy Spirit, because we have been made alive together with Christ, we belong to God, we belong to the family of God, we've been born again, baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And because of that, it says we're saved from the wrath to come. So there is absolutely nothing to fear. So let's stand on the truth of God's grace. And when we do stand on the truth of God's grace, we're going to see the fruit of that grace being lived out in us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. Great thoughts. And I appreciate so much the fact that you've been so clear in clarifying what the mark of the beast is. And it fits right into the parameters we've been talking about Basic Gospel, producing programming and resources that help you, our listeners. And that's the focus here at Basic Gospel. And one of the ways we show our appreciation to those of you who help us continue to do that is by sharing with you every month one of the resources that point you to the truth of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this month, when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's an in-depth look at how the Christian life is really supposed to work. So join us, friends. Go to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. We would love for you to partner with us in helping us get this message out as far and wide as we possibly can by every means available. Again, visit basicgospel.net and click donate. Well, Bob, we had a question from Aaron. An anonymous writer says, Paul speaks a lot about himself having a clear conscience. Can you please tell me where the conscience is? Is it in our mind, or is it part of the Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit speaking within us?
Well, it's a part of our inner man. So there's this inner man where we experience life, and that's where we make our connection with God when we're born again. But it's there in every person, the conscience. Every person has a conscience. We see, for example, in Romans chapter 2, where Paul is talking about the fact that all, both Jew and Gentile, have been judged to be under sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, for the Jew, they had the law. So they had something in stone, and they could see that a transgression of that law meant they were sinners. Mm-hmm. So they were judged by the law. But it says for the Gentile, it was the conscience, their consciences, that judged, condemning them or saying, hey, you're okay. But we all know that nobody's conscience is going to say to them they're okay, because through that conscience we know right and wrong. And in knowing right and wrong, we see that we're on the wrong side of that equation and that we need to be saved. So the conscience is a part of a human being. It's just part of our inner being.
Mm-hmm.
It's like scientists have no earthly idea how to describe the mind. And in today's atmosphere, this worldview of materialism. They don't even like to use the word mind. They like to use the word brain. They want to reduce it down to that blob of fat and cholesterol and all of that stuff that makes up the human brain and all of those synapses and all of that, and those electrical charges that move back and forth, and all the chemicals that are involved in that.
Yeah.
They want to reduce everything to the brain. But we know that we have a mind. And when that mind, I think that's where the conscience, the human conscience, lies.
Okay, we hope that this is a help to you, and thanks for reaching out, our anonymous friend. 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and the lines are open right now in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We had this question from Yvette on YouTube. She's watching us on the our YouTube live stream, and she says, if you get a chance, explain what it means to be blessed. I believe some people take that word for granted. I believe that we're blessed every time we take a breath. What is it? What does it mean to be blessed?
Good
well,
question.
Yvette, that is a great, great question. The word blessed is a word that talks about happiness and that sort of thing. But it's something that flows from the heart of God into our lives. That's where real blessings come from God himself. So just our human life, as you say, Yvette, every time we take a breath and get to experience being a human, that's a blessing.
Absolutely.
But there's something that the Word of God says about blessings that takes us to a different realm. That transcends just the human experience, and it's what we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we read this, for example, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we've been blessed in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, everything, every spiritual blessing that God wanted to bestow upon us, he did in Christ. So we have everything that we need for life and godliness. It doesn't matter the circumstances of life that we may find ourselves in. That doesn't change the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And in this first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and really throughout all of Paul's writings, we see the blessings of God being listed out for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been adopted into the family of God. We've been predestined to be holy and blameless in his sight. We've been given the righteousness of God. We have been redeemed. We have forgiveness of sins in him. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We're a part of the kingdom of God. We've been taken out of darkness and placed in light and into the kingdom of the Son. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're alive together with Christ. So these are the things that we've been blessed with in Jesus Christ. And when you start to count those blessings, as the Psalms encourages us to do, we see this gratitude just starting to bubble up inside of us. And that's part of this faith walk that God has called us to live as children of God. So we need to recognize who Jesus is, just the goodness and the kindness and the majesty of his character, and how in grace he has blessed us with everything that we need to flourish as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So when we recognize that, we're going to see this inner happiness just flood the soul.
Absolutely.
So that's what it means to be blessed.
And Yvette, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Once again, if we have, 14 after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and talk to Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hey there.
How are you, my friend?
Well, you know, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Yes, it is. How are you faring during this pandemic?
Well, you know what? My wife is one of those first responders. We did lose our mother-in-law there in New York.
Mm.
But, you know, God is good. She was saved. We are saved. And we're just believing. We win on either side of the equation. How about that?
Boy, that's the attitude right there. That's the eternal perspective. And if that eternal perspective, that eternal hope isn't shaping, you know, how we live here and now, then we just really don't know what it is, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, look, by the way, my donation is coming. You guys do a great job. And well, I love the voice of your announcer. You can't pass that at all.
No, Mr. Davis has the golden voice. He does indeed.
Oh boy!
Listen, what do you stand on? You know, I've been sort of studying this. I've been in the way a bit. Maybe I should get out of the way. That's the problem. But I've been studying the rapture, as it's called, or the catching away. Just wondering to know whether you are a premillennialist, an amillennialist, or a postmillennialist. That's either you believe it, you don't believe it, or you think it may happen one day. I don't know.
Well, Leon, I think the scripture is pretty clear. It's going to happen.
Right.
And so the arguments have always been about the when. We're always
right.
trying to figure out the when. And there's folks that say, hey, I want that to happen before any tribulation or trials, that great tribulation. I want it to happen before then. So I'm going to look at the scripture and see if that may be the case. And then, you know, so we have all these different things. So there's the pre-trib rapture. There's a theology out there that talks about pre-wrath. There's
right.
the mid-trib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we've got all of these things. And when I look at it, Leon, now I'll just kind of give you a little bit of my background, a little bit of my history. The first Bible I ever really owned and studied and read was the King James Version of the C.I. Schofield Study Bible. So C.I. Schofield was one of the main voices of the pre-trib rapture theology, and he influenced Dallas Theological Seminary right here in Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And they have pushed that out there. And so I read all those study notes, and that's where I got my theology on the rapture, was from the study notes, not the Word of God, but the study notes, C.I. Schofield's study notes that were down at the bottom of every page or on the side. And then I started really looking into it because people started asking questions, which that's what people do. And I was asking questions, scratching my head. And, you know, I was reading that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and then 1 Corinthians 15 and then Revelation and trying to see, you know, how does all this fit? Is it as nicely tied together and laid out as this pre-trib rapture theology seems to make it, or is there still a little bit of mystery involved in it? And Leon, as I started reading it, here's where I've kind of landed on it. I think we're going to be raptured out of here, but I think all of that is going to be a single event at the coming of Christ. We know Christ came one time 2,000 years ago. He ascended. And with that ascension, there was a promise that he was going to come again. And I think that's the event that we're looking for, that coming again of Christ Jesus. And when he comes again, I think that's when we're going to be caught up out of here. If we're still alive physically in these human bodies, when that event occurs. Now,
all right.
Am I going to get mad if somebody disagrees with that? Absolutely not. And I don't think any of us should get mad over that.
No.
Because I think the one thing that we all can agree on and that we can be confident and assured of is that Jesus is coming back. When
Amen.
He comes back, I'm going to be with him forever. I'm going to find out what he's really like, and in finding out what he's really like, revealed in all of his glory, I'm going to find out what I'm really like, revealed in all the glory of Jesus Christ, and the world is going to take notice at looking on the people of God, and then all of creation is going to be liberated to experience what God had in mind from the beginning.
Well, I appreciate your response. See, it triggered me when I was listening to your other caller talking about the mark of the beast and that kind of thing. And, of course, the studies now, as you look at it, my thesis was in eschatology. But, again, it was study notes and was notes of everybody else as opposed to an in-depth study of what was coming. And I feel like this time, whenever there's a pandemic or there's some issue that comes through the land and everybody kind of gets worried about whether they're going to be saved or not, the question of grace always has a question mark, and everybody walks to works-based salvation.
Right. And my prayer through this is that clarity can be gained in the Christian community regarding the grace of God. It just saddens my heart. It makes me angry on the inside when I read headlines like I talked about at the opening of the show, that many Christians, evangelicals, fear taking the mark of the beast. It's like, my gosh, have you not read the good news? Do you not know what Christ accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you not know that he's alive? I'm on a roll now, Leon. You got me going, man.
Yeah.
So I just pray that, man, confusion would just leave, clarity would come, and with that clarity, confidence, assurance, and victory for every Christian.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Well, I thank you very much for your response. We'll be buying your material and certainly appreciate the work that you folks do. It's difficult, especially as I also am and learning and growing and maturing even after 40 years of ministry. I find something new around every corner.
Yeah.
And programs like this kind of help you to stay sharp. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Leon. Let me put you on hold, and I'll just send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, just for jumping on with us today, okay?
Oh, yeah, man. I enjoy it every week.
Okay, you hang on. Thanks, Leon.
In the meantime, Sunday's coming, and friends, I hope you'll set an alarm just a little bit before 9:30 Central Time to join Bob Christopher for Sunday Morning Live. It's an insightful study in the Word of God, and you can join him by going to our website, basicgospel.net, and click either of the Facebook or YouTube links at the very top of the page, where those of you who join us by Facebook or YouTube join us every day for the broadcast. We would love for you to join Bob this Sunday morning at 9:30 Central.
Well, thanks, Bob. Deborah had this quick question. It's not a quick question. It's really a big, big, big topic. But she asked, why do Christians suffer with mental health issues? And you know, we're human beings, so if a human can suffer from mental health issues, then we're not immune to that. But we do have an answer, and that is the truth of God's love and grace. And God has promised to renew our minds, and that's certainly what we all need. So as we begin to be, when we encounter truth, when we start to believe the truth, when we start to respond to that truth, we're going to see these minds of ours starting to be renewed, and over time we can experience freedom, and we can truly enjoy a sound mind by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's not a magic wand,
right?
That's a process, that's a journey that God has called us to through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, thanks for those thoughts, and thank you, Deborah, for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today. Over the weekend, if you have a Bible question or a life issue that that pops up, well, give us a call by voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll be ready on Monday to address your situation. Again, the number 844-322-2742. 2742. Also keep in mind that we have this excellent gift for our May donors. It's Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel as we endeavor to get this message out far and wide, literally around the globe, to proclaim the life, the love, and fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us. For Bob and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis with your weekend invitation to be back on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.